You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and we're going to shift gears quite a bit right now and talk about cardiology. If you suffer a heart attack today, your odds of surviving are far better than they were even a decade ago. What's responsible for this improvement? Technology, science, or is it something less tangible? Todd Bookman reports.
To get a baseline for just how far cardiac care has come, let's start with this guy.
Ed Mundowitz here.
Dr. Alphonse Edmundowitz. I reached him at his home outside of Harrisburg, PA.
So what are you up to, Bookman?
Edmundowitz graduated from medical school in 1955. Those weren't exactly glory days for treating patients with heart conditions.
Oh, in the 1950s, most people felt you got a heart attack because you had hardening of the arteries, and the arteries got all sludge in them and finally blocked up, and then you had damage to your heart.
Right. Sludge. There wasn't too much doctors could do about that.
And the feeling there was to put a person to bed rest, and we would sedate them heavily. We'd keep them comfortable and maybe give them oxygen and intravenous things, but no serious treatment.
And as you'd expect, Edmundowitz says the results weren't all that good. Now, let's fast forward a generation later.
So I became a card-carrying cardiologist in 1996.
This is Daniel Edmundowitz, son of Alphonse and chief of cardiology at Temple University Hospital. In Dan's world, sludge can be overcome. His team has a cutting-edge catheterization lab where angioplasty is used to puff open clogged arteries. There's drug-releasing stents, clot busters, advancements in bypass methods, and robotic surgical systems.
There's no doubt that the technology that allows us to restore flow to the heart muscle has saved lives. No doubt about it.
The statistics back this up. Between 1999 and 2011, the mortality rate for a heart attack patient who was admitted to a hospital dropped 28% nationwide. 86 out of every 100 people now survive at least 30 days following the event. Here's one of those 86.
So last thing I remember is sitting on the edge of a gurney in the ER trying to catch my breath, and then I was out. That was that.
On May 8th of this year, John Bilkins arrived at Temple in the midst of a massive heart attack. He received 4 stents and had a quadruple bypass. Doctors also use something called a left ventricular assist device. Bilkins' wife Lois describes it like this.
It's an implanted pump that does the work of the left ventricle. The left ventricle is what pumps the oxygenated blood through the rest of the body.
The LVAD, as it's called, is serving as a bridge until Bilkins' heart gets stronger. The device's power cord actually snakes out of his abdomen, where it connects to rechargeable battery packs strapped to his waist. This guy is at home, sitting on his couch, 65 years old, and a cyborg.
It is truly amazing. It's life-giving and it's life-saving. And without it, I'd have been a widow.
Clearly, these innovations matter to patients, but there's some debate about if they're really what's improving the mortality rate so dramatically. Yale School of Medicine's Harlan Krumholtz co-authored the study, and he's of the opinion it wasn't necessarily new technology that moved the needle.
But it was better application of old knowledge that really led us, I believe, to really make these gains.
He says, look, it's not like stents or angioplasty or even implantable devices were invented in the last 15 years. There was no single radical improvement in care, no vaccine or drug that can account for such a huge drop in mortality. Instead, Krumholtz says it's all about a focus on quality. It's about hospitals nationwide finally getting on board with proven steps in cardiac care that for decades were being ignored.
There were places in the country where only a third of the patients were getting beta blockers, even though we know that they were highly effective in reducing the risk of dying after heart attacks. In some areas of the country, only about half the people were getting aspirin, even though we knew that to be a highly effective medication.
So the question is, if aspirin was known to be beneficial dating back to at least the early 1980s, what took so long? There's no clear answer for that question, but one likely reason is hospitals are big, complicated institutions, and change can just take time. To try to jumpstart the process, groups began publishing data on how often medical facilities followed so-called best practices. Eric Muther is with the Pennsylvania Healthcare Quality Alliance. Their website publishes, among other stats, what percent of the time an individual hospital gave that aspirin. throw a little sunlight on the issue, and suddenly everyone falls into line.
No big surprise there. Institutions and medical professionals are just naturally competitive folks, and so that helps to move things along quite substantially.
And that competition is also what helps spur innovation. It's what leads to the next generation of devices and drugs. But in the race to save lives following a heart attack, it appears some of the best medicine is already out there. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.